Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
I hate that people in that floating city, I guess. I don't really know. Yeah, sure. I hate them.
Yeah. Which? Oh, the one above Iron.
Zalem? City. Salim? Salem? Salem brand cigarettes? RJ Morris?
Yep, that's the one.
That's from Alita Battle Angel. How about you start talking? Because I don't really know where to go here.
I hated this movie.
Oh, okay. Well, oh.
I don't think you're really supposed to think about it at all. I think it's supposed to be smooth and shiny and pass through you like Shake Shack through a cop. But I paid attention, and it made me very mad.
John, Blue Lives Matter, first of all, and those poor officers, they bravely faked getting poisoned at a Shake Shack mm-hmm. because they're imperiled by the Antifa of the United Federation of Mars. You know, this movie is very prescient.
Yes, it's true. People kept radioing in diarrhea, it makes a lot of sense.
The Iron City is very much like the no-go zone with that one Photoshop-looking guy with the gun in it in Seattle.
Uh-huh. The very real thing. Did you know that Iron City, where this movie takes place, is supposed to be Kansas City? That's how it is in the manga, which this movie is based on.
Really? Why would it be in America?
I don't know.
Well, I'm tired of them fucking culturally appropriating our stuff, John. here's the thing about Alita Battle Angel, and I need you to understand this. I don't understand my opinion on this movie, and I wanted to get yours first, but I really, really liked it and want the sequel to happen. I was delighted by it. Every part, like when you were texting and you made a point of saying that you have a hard time looking at her. Uh-huh. I wanted nothing more than to look at her. Like, I felt a fatherly affection for this young robot. I love the uncanny valley of it. There is something I could not. Anytime she wasn't on screen, I was like, I miss my little Lita.
Where's Poochie?
Yeah, I want a Lita to come into my life and protect me. I want to be that traveling dentist. What's the name of the lead guy?
Ito.
Ito, right? Yeah. Ito. I want to be Doc Ito so I can have like a little robot daughter. This movie was delightful. Great. I want to be very clear here. I'm wrong. I don't know what happened to me, but this movie.
Speaking of fatherly affection, like I want to just tousle your hair right now and be like, hey, buddy, look at you. That's sweet.
Yeah, it's, you know, because it's not. There's so many more movies that are exactly like this. That do it better, but mm-hmm. What movie am I thinking of that there's like a time travel element maybe, or no, it's a false memory and there's a bunch of people that are in like a dilapidated slum that they go back to and there's a big murder time happened there.
I don't know, but it sounds like a bunch of sci-fi movies.
I thought we did it on the show.
Blade Runner 2049.
No. It was like a bunch of they were like kids and they went back to like this like shack that they all used to live in. Oh, it doesn't matter. Maybe we didn't do it on the show. It's all. But
I don't know if anyone knows what it is. Let us know.
Well, this movie reminds me of every movie. So there's.
Yeah.
No, I really enjoyed the shit out of it for a. I think I'm feeling the source material come through, like because I haven't read the manga or watched the anime or whatever it is. Is it an anime or is it like one of those motion comic things?
From what I understand, it was a book, and then it was a full-fledged.
Oh, okay, anime. They did the full-fledged.
Because I remember seeing it in high school. In fact, there's a particular moment at the end with Hugo where I'm like, oh, yes, this movie. But I don't really remember much about it.
Yeah, see, I feel like what I'm liking about this is the whatever the material is. I haven't read or watched it, so I could be wrong, but there's something about like the bones of it.
Based on what you imagine the source material to be.
Well, no, but you know how like sometimes you'll watch an adaptation and you're like, oh, this sucks because you know the original? I'm having kind of the opposite reaction where it's like I'm kind of x-raying the bones of the original. I'm like, oh, that's, you know, because I like the whole doctor for hire concept. That's like he's sort of good, but sort of a tweener. That's a, you know,
you think that like the ideas in here you like and they may be portrayed better in the original.
Yeah, something along those lines. Like this is okay. Like this is like a because it's even it's not even like there's really good bones, and then they put like an okay movie on top of it because this is just good. Like I mean, you know, and any this isn't any movie. Like you know, there's nothing particularly special about what happens, but I like the bones of like I like the city. Like I like the story of like oh yeah, like 300 years ago we had a war that we don't really know all the details about. I love that concept and weird water walls around the city.
Yeah, now the water walls I liked, but were made no sense. But I kind of liked that they didn't make any sense. I agree with you that there's a lot of interesting ideas at play here. My problem is like they didn't really explore them all very much. It kind of jumped from here to here to here to here. Well, there's this area in the sky that everyone wants to get to. Okay, but the Martians attacked years ago. What does that have to do with anything? It just seems like it's just a bunch of stuff thrown at a wall and see what sticks, so to speak.
See, I kind of like that because it works for the whole city, too. Like, the city is this hodgepodge of, like, every language is there. It's just this thrown-together mess. And then their memory of the past is, yeah, I mean, the Martians attacked. Like even we were talking about before the show, that one the one characterless lady is like, well, she's not the enemy. That was 300 years ago, which I like, mm-hmm. where it's just, like, this kind of residue of, like, no, there was bad guys, I think. Like, I'm pretty sure they were the bad guys. I'm not really sure. All I know is that the floating city above us is... I think we're good, but we don't really sure. Like, there's kind of a weird, like, resentment, except for some people want to go. I don't know. I like.
Yeah, I guess I just would have liked that the overhead city to be fleshed out a little bit more. Because honestly, for being, you know, this sort of like garbage pile that exists under this place, it was fine. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was San Francisco in the original Blade Runner looks way worse and terrible to live in than this place.
Yeah, well, that's it was weird because you said this takes place in Kansas City or it's supposed to in the manga.
Apparently, it's supposed to be. Yeah, Iron City is in the land formerly known as Kansas City.
It reminds me of future Tijuana. Like, you know, like a lot of movies will do like, oh, this is what TJ looks like in the future. Because it's got that kind of, I think maybe just because like it's arid outside of it, but.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's some of it is like, it's because it's bright and sunny through a lot of it. And it looks, you know, you got these awesome kids. They're kids. I think they're supposed to be in their 20s or something, like rollerblading or motorballing through the city. And it just looks like the fucking energy drink commercial.
Now, what are your feelings? You're on record as not being a fan of skateboarding. What are your feelings on rollerblading and or motorballing?
Well, I think that's a bit reductive.
Well, yeah, that's my place on the show is what I do I take large portions and I just somehow boil it down to making you seem like an idiot, a racist, or hating inexplicable things that I decide you don't like.
I can do that on my own.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I've seen Rollerball, so it's Rollerball. That's my opinion on it. It actually reminded me of like a combination of Rollerball and this PS2 game called Kinetica, where people were like in these motorcycle suits.
Which is
a weird little bit of nostalgia that kind of hit me out of nowhere.
I vaguely remember that, or maybe a game that's similar to that. This is the only time I've ever watched one of these future things where they have a dumb sport where I thought the sport looked awesome. Not the pro version, but when they're just playing in the street, that looked fun as fuck.
Yeah. The pro version, I don't understand, particularly because it didn't seem like there were rules.
I think it's one of the things of the rules. There are no rules. You're disqualified. Right. You know, like it's just,
yeah. except for that. Don't do that. But yeah. And also I was kind of irritated with how much the film focused on it while it was trying to do so many other things. But
you know, what was great about this, and we'll spin back around and try to go through a bit in order, but I was enjoying the shit out of this. Until at the end where I realized that they're climbing up the thing. And I'm like, oh my God, is there a whole nother act of this movie? Like, I don't have the patience for another 45 minutes of this. Cause the movie just like ends like it. Like, they're just going, ah, yeah, that's enough of that. But I thought they were going to do the whole like storming of Salem. And I'm like, oh fuck. Oh,
if I'm recalling correctly, I believe that's how like the first anime sort of ends. Which
I read the review, the kind of synopsis, like at the end, it's she like puts the dead body parts of her friends in a balloon and shoots it up to Zolom or whatever. Yeah,
now that's awesome.
Yeah.
But like, I just remember like being like, oh, OK, I guess that's the end of the movie or the anime when I first saw it. But also at the time, like when I would, you know, just see whatever was on VHS that Blockbuster had, there were so many that just ended like that. 'Cause they're supposed to be part of a series. And
oh, yeah.
I really wanted to do the same thing. And yeah, like, oh, well, I don't know that that works after 2 hours of sitting through this to just go like, yeah, we'll get to it.
I liked it for a very like a, because we watch so many movies that are 3 hours or, you know, just these long yeah. slogs. And this movie is, I think, paced interestingly. I don't think it suffers
That's
for pacing.
Nice way to put it.
No, but I don't think it suffers for pacing. Like it's not like the thing that's wrong with it is pacing, but
it's a thing that's wrong with it, but I don't know if it's the thing.
But I could see them putting another 45 minutes on at the end and then just being like, "Oh, you fucking assholes." And then just right. all of my positive things. The only thing that I think they spent too much time on was the rollerball shit.
That's part of my problem. So like, I don't, you know, the movie opens with, Dr. Ido, played by Christoph Waltz. Dr. Ido. Why not make him a German guy? He finds,
well, I mean, they did make it a point of saying it's the future and everybody's been living all the nation states don't have any meaning anymore. So I'm okay with that.
Go super huge with it. Make his assistant the main Dr. Ido. Make, you know, I don't know. Have him just be a goldfish. But
John, I don't know if you know, the assistant was a woman.
Yeah.
He's a doctor.
Oh, I'm sorry. How rude of me.
You remember that old riddle at the end? It turns out there's no answer because women can't be doctors.
That's right. Anyway, notorious Freegan and Ephebophile, Dr. Ito finds a young girl's head, cyborg head in a garbage pile. And is like, hey, brother, I'm going to take this and make me a daughter.
Hey, wait, Ephebophile?
Yeah, he went home and he built a daughter.
Yeah, but that's sure a daughter. Did. He didn't want to fuck her.
Sure, he didn't.
I'm pretty sure he did. If you're reading sexual chemistry on there, that's on you.
I think the movie's creepy.
The movie's creepy, but Christoph and her, there is no fucking sexual chemistry there at all.
I'm not saying that there's sexual chemistry. I'm just saying the movie's creepy about it. I think he was probably fighting against that.
I think when you listen back to this, there's going to be like when the stories start coming out about you, like how you're fucking that robot, people are going to go, oh,
of Johnny Five.
Yeah.
This is a consensual thing. No, but it's like it's creepy. It really lingers on her apparently pubescent body. And then like when she later decides to give herself boobs and the assistant's like, I guess she's older than you thought. It's gross. So yes, I'm unfairly characterizing him as the Ephebophile when it's the movie itself that is creepy about it. But
yeah, I think that's a little bit more you, because Christoph Waltz is perfect and lovely and he's a great father and I want to hug him. So I think that's on you.
And I like him.
I don't have father issues. This is totally in the movie. Look, I just want somebody to give me a new perfect little girl body and hug me and make me feel loved. I'm not, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's fine. I support that.
Do you? Because you said, and I quote, Alex, that's just a toaster on your floor with legs, in quotes, duct tape to it. When I showed you my body.
Yeah, you drew boobs on it. It was weird.
No, I drew
on the toaster when they popped up.
I drew a ponophile boobs, or whatever the fuck word you keep saying on it. I'm sexually attracted to the horse from Legend of Zelda.
Now that I can get behind.
All right, so yeah, here's another thing I found out about myself while watching this movie. I think I have a thing for ladies with robot arms. Not Alita, the nurse.
Sure.
Like I like a sleek robot arm. Like I don't know what that is.
Which is an interesting thing to bring up. That sort of I don't know if you can tell a sort of a cybernetic story like that about like physical enhancements and stuff like that without maybe running the risk of being ableist or something like that, because it's all about sort of improving the human body. But I do think it's extremely bizarre that Dr. Ito decides to rebuild this girl based on the body he made for his daughter who was in a wheelchair. And then but we don't know anything about her, if that was something she really wanted or what. But I do think it's hilarious the way she died, because it's in a flashback. It's revealed that he used to make he used to suit people up to be in the motorball thing. And then one of them, like using illegal parts or something, I don't know, one of them like needed a fix of some sort of drug and came to Dr. Ito's to find it. And Dr. Ito went down to stop him. And then his daughter in the wheelchair was there too. And the guy just runs out and just for no reason when he sees her, gets mad and punches her in the face and kills her.
Yeah.
That was so bizarre.
Yeah, it was really...
That should not have been funny, but it was very funny.
It was tonally really, really awkward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite understand what was happening there.
Yeah. Also, in the original, Alita was a cat.
What do you mean Alita was a cat?
He named his Alita after his cat.
That's fine. I thought you meant Alita like the little girl we're watching this movie.
No.
In the anime, she's a cat. Which, I mean, keep in mind, this or manga, yeah. That would be totally in a manga. So I'm like, oh, all right, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, no, they he named her after a cat instead of a daughter.
Which works better because the dead daughter thing is unnecessary. Because also it makes the other part of this I didn't like was Jennifer Connelly in the overcomplicated ex-wife position.
Yes.
Doesn't need to be there at all, other than what happens to her at the end, I guess, was in the comics. So they wanted to have it mean something a little bit. So they gave her character.
Gave her a lot of eyeliner. That's what they did.
Well, she made
I was like, oh my gosh, Jennifer Connelly. I haven't seen her in a long time. I really like Jennifer Connelly. And then, like, she's not really in the movie. And when she is, her character doesn't really make sense or is fleshed out in any way. And the one like little bit of moment that they do give her immediately doesn't matter. Because when she's like, oh, I forgot that I was also a mother. And then I was like, yeah, now you're dead. Who cares?
No, but you missed it. That was a Metro joke because she looks like a mother brain.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
So he gives the body to this head he finds in the garbage.
Because the brain is still alive, he finds.
Yes. So, I mean, I guess in the greater world of this, I guess it makes sense. Basically, he's just like a lonely man. So he's like, all right, I guess I'll you know, bring this thing back to life and see what happens.
Well, as it's slowly revealed, I guess, or maybe I'm just making this up, but it felt like he sort of, not only did he know it was alive, but he also, it seemed like he sort of recognized the technology. Because it seemed like he's,
oh, you know, yeah,
he was,
you know,
very taken by it being very, by being alive after being dead for, what, 300 years?
Yeah, you know what? That makes sense, because it's revealed later that he was from Winston-Salem Cigarettes Land.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he probably recognized it and was like, oh, I'll you know, this is like some quality stuff. Let's bring it back to life. And yeah, that, all right, that kind of makes sense.
Sure. But like this is the first of the movies that this movie could have been and wasn't. And no, it is a cliche to be like, well, you know, here's this thing that's like learning how to be, she's got to get her memories back, like a la Jason Bourne or something. It doesn't really matter. Like, she kind of tries to learn to walk like immediately, which is fine. Like, yeah, that's, we don't need a whole thing with that. But then like, you got to learn how to fight. Oh yeah. Here. Boom, boom, boom. Turns out I know how to fight. There's a lot of just sort of like rushing through and glossing over what could be interesting character developments. And when I say, when we brought up earlier, when I say that I find this character hard to look at, is because she is fully CG and they gave her oversized eyes. Not like anime. I mean, they're anime-esque eyes. If they were full on anime, it'd probably be weird. But like, this is like Sonic Teeth thing where it's like, it's just unsettling. It's just different enough that it's that uncanny valley. And it took me a long time to get past it.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought she was cute. She's a little cutie pie. Like, I want her to be my daughter. Protect me. She's great.
I think you could have probably had the actual actress do it, and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Even just her vocal thing, she seemed charming enough. But, you know, whatever. This is the way they decided to go with it, because everything has to be CG and shiny, even in a dilapidated world.
Well, the reason – I don't disagree with you, but later in the film when she gets to be, like, more kick-ass and stuff – I think it would be more jarring to have her be, I think you would see the CGI more if only during the, you know, because when she does like that weird balletic scene where she's like doing like a back half arch and lifts herself with her fingers, that would obviously have to be.
Oh, when she's showing off her new body to her dad?
Yes. Well, yeah, hey, you know, sometimes you gotta, you know, John, I think you're putting too much sex here. She's just like, hey, dad, look at me. I want to arch my back at you. And then put my fingers into things. This is
show
totally on you.
Boobs I gave myself. Yeah. No, it's normal.
Normal. I didn't honestly, and this is me, you know, that shit got you. I did the boob thing. I didn't even notice. Was that actually happened? Like there was like
they referenced it a couple of times because eventually she gets a fancy new body that she finds on a spaceship in a unnecessary scene, but fine. Like it's to get her new awesome body and reveal a little bit about her past. So I guess maybe I shouldn't say it's unnecessary, but it just felt unnecessary. And it's all like nanotech and like super awesome technology that no one has access to anymore. When he attaches her head to it, it starts like changing. It's like, oh, it's it's transforming itself into her subconscious image of herself.
Oh, that's right.
When he says that, the boobs get bigger, and then later, Joey Lawrence.
Oh, that's funny. Hugo. I kept calling him Ryder Strong.
Oh yeah, same guy. Yeah, same
that's funny. He's no, he's Ryder Strong in my entire notes.
Yeah, the love interest in this is just a '90s TV guy.
Yeah,
like it's amazing that like that guy is still out there. But yeah, and then later he's like, "Whoa, there's been some changes." And
yeah, I guess
they call it out several times.
I guess I just didn't notice it was like a boob thing.
I mean, I don't think it's just the boob thing.
No, no, but I mean, now that you're saying that, I think that was the inference during that one bit. I guess I didn't pick up it. But I was just saying that like during those scenes, you would have to be heavy CGI, and I think if you did the actress's face in the kind of more human moments, I think it'd be more jarring when you had to go to the more CGI route, which, you know, needs to happen for the character.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, because I actually really liked the way Zupan looked, or Zupan, the total, like, I just liked the design of that character.
Is that the guy with the sword?
The pretty boy, yeah, with the sword.
I liked everything but his face.
Yeah, yeah, his face was annoying, but, like, yeah. In terms of it all sort of fitting together, it all seemed to work for me. But yeah, it's a fair point that he wasn't doing a whole lot of like acrobatics and stuff like that. He was just having a bad face at you.
But his face was not even just saying like the actor's got a smug face, which he does. But it's just it's the same in the same way that Peter Weller, I hated the way his face mixed into the RoboCop suit. It just has like this, well, there's a line and that doesn't make sense to have that be skin. Like it just, there's something kind of biologically that doesn't work there in a, you know, if you're going to integrate actual flesh into it. I mean, unless that's not actual flesh, but yeah, it just kind of sat weird.
Yeah, I stopped listening when you started just saying utter horse shit about RoboCop.
There's one thing where I just don't like the way the top of his flesh skin incorporates into the robot. I just think like medically that doesn't make sense. And I mean, you know why, because you have to, it's a prosthetic. So for RoboCop, I'm allowing it. For this, I can't because it's CGI. There's literally no reason for this.
Sure.
You're not limited by Peter Weller has to be in there. Like you don't have Dario Naharis isn't in that room, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's in a unitard somewhere.
Yes. Okay. So yeah. So John, you love her boobs. Oh, so, you know,
it's okay. That's all. It's crossed off the list.
So speaking of, you have a nipple fetish for this 14-year-old robot, but she's 300. So it's fine.
thanks, Alan Moore.
So this kind of comes up later, and I don't think, did she fuck Ryder Strong?
I don't think so.
Because he's got his shirt off in that one scene. And I think I started looking at my phone because it was like a, you know, kind of a boring scene. Then I looked up, he's taking his shirt, he's putting his shirt on. I'm like, oh, fuck, did they hump? Like, is she?
No. There's a bit where he wakes up and she's in his window. And
she was in the window. Okay, that's what I missed.
This was a crazy scene. But before we get to that.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah,
later on. I do want to mention that this whole movie, even though I didn't. This whole movie made me feel like I was looking at my phone. I think I mentioned to you, like, I felt like I was actively forgetting it while it was happening. I just found it so uninteresting. I'm like, things would happen. I'm like, wait, oh, right. Yeah, that guy. Sure. I remember him from before, I guess. But I really struggled giving a shit about anything in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think the parts I like, I really like. But there's bits like, as I said, like, I think you need to cut the motorball shit in half. And Jennifer Connelly just doesn't need to be there. It's if you're not going to bother making her something, don't bother putting her in the movie because it's already a little bloated around the edges. And I think that trims it up enough because there's, I like it. Like it's the part where she finds the body in the, well, I mean, when does it even happen?
Well, yeah, see, that's, so she, after he fixes her up, she, they do manage to avoid doing too much of the sexy baby thing where she just kind of doesn't remember how does food taste? And she's already like weird because she's a cyborg. Or whatever, but they don't spend a whole lot of time with her being like, what is this wild world around me? So it moves on a little bit quickly. And they really just use that as a way to get her into playing motorball with the group of friends. This movie is very heavy on exposition. And I kind of wish, because I like a fair amount of world building, but I like when the characters are there and the world kind of pops up around them rather than them laboriously explaining why things are the way they are.
Yeah.
That gets a little old.
Yeah, this one, I don't think this one did that too bad, except for with the Zolom stuff. Because
I think this movie does a fair amount of it.
It does. But for how much shit is in this, I think it could have been a lot worse. Like for how, like,
I will agree to that. It could have been worse.
Cause they didn't explain the wall at all, which if this was directed by Lucas, there would have been 15 minutes on how that wall works. They didn't talk about like the agricultural area outside other than, yeah, shit just got blown up real bad. Like
that's it.
No, but I like that.
I'm agreeing with you. I admire the audacity of them just going like, yeah, no, there's nothing out here. And then like, well, why are they going out there? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And, oh, here's a ship.
Which explains because they're you know, adjacent to Kansas. So there's just vast swaths of nothing.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. This looks a lot better than any part of Kansas. Or Missouri or any of that area.
I get you're trying real hard to make a dig at my hometown, but I'm agreeing with you that, yeah, Kansas sucks.
You know, honestly, you know how I joke around about I forget where you're from? I died that entire time. I forgot you were from Kansas.
I'm not from Kansas.
Wait, where are you from? Nebraska.
You'll never know.
Nebraska. Omaha's in Nebraska. Yeah, so I wasn't trying to make fun of you. I was trying to make fun of Kansas.
Well, I know, but the fact you added Missouri in there. So I thought
because you said Kansas.
You were testing out to see what was going to get me.
No, I wasn't. Because you said Kansas City before. So I was letting the audience know I wasn't trumping. I was, because Kansas City is in both.
Yeah.
So when I was making fun of Kansas, I that was me letting the audience know, I don't think Kansas City is, I didn't do that thing. I was also saying Missouri is a piece of shit.
Well, apparently it matters very greatly because there's a giant floating city.
Exactly. Because the middle of the country was even then so unimportant, no one bothered to fucking kill that one last city. All the Martians are like, all right, we killed the entire planet. What about that weird place in the middle? Nah, Kansas, suddenly worry about it. Yeah, I'm not going to fly all the way over there. Shit's, yeah. We ran out of airline miles when we flew to all the places that matter.
That's far too boring.
Let's go blow
up some small places in Norway.
Yeah, no, there is a lot of explaining the world, but for how much world they put in, that's why I kind of like there was a lot of world building, and I just like the way the city operated and looked. They didn't spend too much time on everything, which I think it's just I'm so used to the George Lucas level of he's got a manual of how everything works. So it's nice to be like, you know, or where they go out to the alien ship where she finds her body. They're like, yeah, that's like weird Martian tech. We don't know how that works. So we just kind of leave it there. I like that as an excuse. Like, I don't know, man, the world fucking ended. Like, we can't be too bothered with this shit. Like, it's not in a government lab somewhere that you have to break into. It's just like, no, we almost died. Like, all of humanity almost died. We're not going to be bothered about some fucking ship.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Because I know I would probably be like, that's crazy. All right, let's keep going. You know, like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do about it.
Yeah. And in like, you know, in the world now, you get away with like kind of the luxury of being like, yeah, I got carted off to a government facility somewhere. It's like, no, there's no more governments. Like everything died. Like we're left in this one shitty part of Kansas, like slinging to the, we're on that fucking garbage planet from Ragnarok right now. And there's no Jeff Goldblum to keep us entertained.
Not a single one.
Well, there might be. I don't know. Jeff Goldblum seems like he could have lasted.
Yeah, that's true. He's still there. Nature finds a way.
Yeah. You know who might be in me shitting on the parts of the film that deserve shitting on? Might be the worst villain of any movie we've seen is Marshall Ali in this. Where he does fine. He looks great. But man, that character is not there.
No, he's not there. And it's a shame because I really like that actor. And goddamn, were his outfits so good.
Yes. Yeah, he was on point. That one point where he's in that like kind of sweet car where he's picking up Jennifer Connelly. It's like, that is one of the more attractive humans that's ever lived. Like, that is a sweet car. That's a sweet suit.
Goofy-ass sunglasses that work for him.
Yeah.
And like, man, I wish I could pull this shit off.
He's got that. Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying to you, that I want to be cast. Because there were rumors that he was going to be casted in Blade when they remade it. But he's got that Wesley Snipes thing where it's like, God, like, you're like a fashion model. Like everything we put on you looks so fucking good. Like remember Blade, Wesley Snipes in the 90s where he'd just be wearing something with shoulder pads that are 6 feet past it where his arms end. Uh-huh. And he still looks sexy as fuck. You're like, that's impossible. You look like David Byrne, but somehow you make it look sexy.
Yeah,
it's just got that crazy. But yeah, and it just sucks because there's no character there. He's just the guy that stands in the back.
But see, that's part of the problem with this. So, like, what, just we can focus on individual scenes, but the broad story is that eventually she finds out that Ito is a hunter killer who hunts cyborgs. She decides she wants to be a hunter killer. They find this one guy who's apparently a serial killer but he's not on. There's no bounties for him because he's being protected for some reason that's never explained. So she wants to try to stop him, but then they fight and she kind of does. But then there are people in Nova who lives up in Salem Cigarettes.
Wait, before you stop that, it is explained. He's being protected by Marshal Ali because he gets parts for. He's like he kills people for that syndicate that does the motorball shit.
That does the motorball thing, which is controlled by Nova.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So no, him not being on the list is because they hung a hat on that part.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that like as far as like that like he's being protected, so the whole thing is getting him. But then it's not. Then it's like I got to be a motorball person. Then it's I got to do this. I got to stop Vector. And so by the like Vector is a non-entity. He's just like he's a checkpoint you have to reach. And it's as a thing to like base a movie on. It's like you could have just toned this down to that story of like I need to get this guy and that's it. But then there's this whole no, I'm going to try to get to Salem, and trying to get to Salem is this whole fake thing, and I got to do motorball even though I know it's a fake thing. Get rid of all of that. Just do the story. Just do this part.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been a lot better of a movie.
Yeah, the motorball stuff, because he's attached to that. Like, if you just cut that, you know, all out, or leave it in as a, that's the background noise. Like, hey, if you get
what the syndicate does is this. That's why this robot voiced by Jackie Earle Haley is murdering people. Fine, but like you went, you know, they're clearly, as we said, trying to make like a Hunger Games type series of movies. Save a lot of this shit because you are going way too hard at it.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice because it seems like this movie. Is working on two levels where it's working with the confidence that you're going to get a sequel, but also jamming way too much shit in for the first movie of a series where it's an odd kind of trying to do it like with both hands.
Well, it's very, and this is what I bring up, like with where I think pacing is a problem. Cause it's very ADD about it. Where it like builds up this momentum of like, here's this action scene and whatever. Oh no, now it's a love story over here. We got to focus on this love story and her being extremely creepy. And now, oh no, no, she's into motorball. She'd be a motorball champion. It really just felt disjointed in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I enjoy the world that the frenetic ADD was happening in. I think I've kind of accepted that movies are just going to be like this. So it's just like, all right, well, it just. I can't be an old man quite yet, so I'm just going to have to run with it. Everything's just going to be cut too quickly, and we should have saw what the Transformers movies were saying as a presage to what's going to be movie making in the future of, we're just going to be cut so quickly that I don't know what's happening. Oh shit, robots are fucking each other. I think I saw a robot dick at the end. Oh, well, great.
Well, for as little as I actually cared about what was going on, I did think the motorball sequence when she's actually in there. There's a team of ringers that are basically there to kill her. I thought that was a fun sequence.
Yeah. All of her fight stuff.
I just don't think it needed to be in the movie.
Yeah. But it's just her fight sequences are great. And that's just one of the better ones. It's fun to watch like a tiny little girl beat the living shit out of like, oh, you know what? They reminded me of that. The main bad guy, the giant dude that's voiced by Jackie Earle Haley is fucking TJ Miller from, Fun Times at Arcade Land. Whatever the hell that movie was.
Yeah. Ready Player One.
Yeah. Boy, like it's the exact same character type, and I just kept laughing every time he showed up. Yeah, I'm looking at my notes of like, so when her and Rufio or whatever, like when they're falling in love and he's showing her around town, he buys her the biggest ass fucking chocolate bar I've ever seen in my life.
It's pretty sizable.
That's a weird, like, I don't know why.
There was in Omaha, there was the rich part of town that people would trick or treat in because you would get the full size candy bar.
Yeah.
It's like that. I never went. But it's like, that's the candy bar I imagined they gave out.
Yeah, but that was a big ass, it doesn't matter, but it just, you know, you're living in this kind of hard scrabble world that's like, oh, here, street vendor, have the largest fucking chocolate bar that's ever. I think that's part of the reason I was thinking it was Mexico, of like, oh, I don't know, because they grow it down there. Like, maybe that's like cheap street food, but no, it's, you know, Kansas.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting at, where I'm like, even like this dystopia that they apparently live in doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, like, I don't need it to be like total Zack Snyder grimdark, but like, it honestly seemed fine. Like, just like you could have been in any city, whatever, but there were cyborgs.
So speaking of grimdark, Alita basically decided she's got this theory that that Doc is chopping up women because there's a serial killer around, and she follows him out one night. And turns out, no, he's actually hunting these people. He's a hunter killer. He's hiding in Paul Atreides' room. And
he's a hunter warrior.
Yeah, I thought it was. Oh, hunter killer. Yeah, no,
I thought it was Hunter Killer when they first said it, because I thought Hunter Killer. I'm like, oh, James Cam, a little nod to James Cameron there.
Yeah.
But I believe it's Hunter Warrior.
Much
more awkward.
That's where we meet like the big stupid Jackie O'Reilly guy. But he says the worst line of villain dialogue ever, and I'd like to read it to you. You're so beautiful, I want to rip you open to see if you're ugly on the inside, like the others.
Because he's a serial killer, man.
No, but here's the thing. You're so beautiful, I want to rip you open and see if you're ugly on the inside. That's actually not that bad. That fucking, that little fucking tag at the end, like the others, is, that's real bad writing. Like, that is fucking garbage.
Yeah. Again, like, if the thing is he's being protected by the by Nova and those people, like, why have him be like, I'm also a creepy serial killer who's murdering women as a side thing, you know what I mean?
Well, we all need our hobbies.
But whatever. There's also a person in that fight at the very beginning that I could swear was also up against Alita in the motorball sequence.
Yeah,
but I think they just look exactly the same. I don't think it's supposed to be the same person. They just made the robots look very similar.
Well, because the thing is, it's like a brain on your spine. So maybe it got recycled. You know, like the bad guys just threw her in her new body, and that is the same person. Yeah, I had that same thought.
Well, and that's another thing with this fight. And I did remember this. This was again a thing I when it was happening, I remembered from the manga is Ito's weapon is a hammer, like a spiked hammer with a rocket engine on the back, basically.
Yeah.
It's a boost. What an anime ass weapon that
yep.
is. Like, that is so stupid and unwieldy and impractical in like real life looking things. But whatever. It was I'm glad they kept it.
Especially be wielded by such a badass as Christoph Waltz. It's one thing if it's hinted that he's got robot parts or something, but like, no, he's just like this. I mean, he's in shape for, you know, 50 something, but
Yeah, and like, just, it didn't seem like the physics of the rocket booster affected it, except when it needed to. But
No, it's terrible. But I love when I saw that, I'm like, oh, that must look so cool in the fucking manga. Because, that is such manga logic.
Yeah, I was like, oh, they kept it, huh? Whatever.
So anyway, she beats the shit out of him using the power of Panzerkunst.
Panzerkunst, yeah. because this is the thing that she like really remembers from being a warrior before.
She remembers her Panzerkunst.
But like, there's again this there could be a movie there about, and not to shun this movie for not being the movie I'm making up right now, but like, here's this guy that ostensibly tried to build a replacement for his daughter, did that. It wasn't his sole goal, but like he was able to do some of the stuff by being a hunter killer and like saving up money to do ostensibly what he thought was good work, and now this daughter that he's made wants to follow in his footsteps. That seems like a thing. That he doesn't want her to be in violence, but like, he's made his whole life on violence, or like, you know, made who he is sort of on this violence, and he doesn't want that for his daughter. That could be a struggle. No, it is not.
Yeah.
He's like, don't do it. Okay, I won't do it. I'm doing it. And then she does it, and it's fine.
I don't think it wouldn't be fine, but she did have her body torn to fucking shreds, so he didn't really have a choice at that point. He's like, oh, fuck, I guess I got to give the killer.
But even before we got to that point, I'm just saying, like, in terms of like their relationship or having any kind of character whatsoever.
Oh yeah, I gotcha. Yeah,
they just sort of glanced past that.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I wanted this movie to be longer. I just would like it to be a little deeper, I suppose. Like Short Circuit too.
Yes, because you want to find out all about Los Locos, whether they kick your balls, your ass, and where in outer space exactly they get kicked to.
I would argue that it has more emotional depth than this movie. Because like there's issues of what it means to be a human being, what it means to be alive, and that really doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, that's sure. Yes,
what matters is kicking.
You do go on the internet a lot, and you can argue about things. That's a good point, John. So there's a really great scene that happens around here, because again, most of it is the fight scenes that are like when they go to that fucking like Mos Eisley Cantina place, and she's
Kansas.
Yeah, in 5'4", Alita walks in. And just fucking owns that place. That is delightful for me to, I don't know why. I find that such fun.
The fight scene was great leading up to it when she decides to become a hunter killer.
Yeah.
Or a hunter warrior to get this horrible monster guy, voiced by Jackie Earle Haley. And it tries to convince the bounty people to do it as well, and goes and tries to give some impassioned speech that was just terrible. And they, of course, they don't care because they're bounty hunters.
Yeah, that was fun. I like the music swelling and them being like, fuck you. We just laugh at her. Yeah, it's good times.
And again, a thing I wish they spent more time on, Jeff Fahey and his little cameo.
Yes, I have
as dude that loves dogs.
I have the quote, oh shit, dog guy is Jeff Fahey right here.
Yeah. So one of the killers or the warriors is Jeff Fahey, and his whole thing is like he has a bunch of robot dogs he sicks on people.
Yeah.
But he himself is also super cybernetic, so okay.
Yeah.
But
very anime.
I was super excited to see Jeff Fahey, I guess. Well, and
what was awesome about that is so Alita has been friends with this little street dog that she's seen across the way, across the movie.
Oh yeah.
And so during the kind of fight pump up scene, she meets the dog and they walk into the bar together. It's her, Ryder Strong, and the dog. I'm like, oh, this is fun squad times. Like, this is awesome. Jeff Fahey's there. He doesn't care. That's his dog. But the dog tries to protect Alita by barking, and the fucking big bad guy stomps on a dog.
Yeah, he murders a dog. Like, this movie has surprisingly brutal moments.
Yeah.
Which I did appreciate in contrast to some of, like, the more sort of bland energy drink commercial side of things, that it would do that. And I kind of wish it went a little bit further in that direction. But I was like, oh, God, he's going to try to do something to the dog, and she's going to stop it. No, he's like, you hear the squish off screen, and it's deeply upsetting.
Which that leads to this sweet fight, this underground fight of her versus Jackie Earle Haley, where she gets torn to shreds and keeps fighting when she's just got an arm left and does like, yeah, I'm on one arm, whatever. But I just love the, and it's such bullshit. It is dog shit writing, and I love it. Where she's being held up by the head, she's got one good arm, and she says, fuck your mercy, and punches her wrist through his head.
Yes.
Oh, fucking just claps from Alex.
No, it was fun. I will absolutely grant this movie that. Like, that was a lot of fun. And again, like, this thing where I thought, yeah, he was going to like punch her down and she'd be down, something like that. I was not expecting for her to be quartered.
Yeah.
And so that was, yeah, cool that you went that way, because then that forced the issue. That's how she gets her cool body, because she finds it, as we mentioned, she finds it in the ship. Dr. Ito does not want to give her the body because it's a berserker body that he doesn't understand. And even though you know the Panzerkunst, this will make you far too powerful, and or I don't want you to be violent, or, you know, whatever. But then he has to, because he ran out of daughter bodies.
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, you could have had a couple backup daughter bodies up in there, because in a few hours, he's going to have another backup body for Ryder Strong. So, I mean, that one was probably still there.
I can't begin to tell you how, and I hope that the Joey Lawrence and Ryder Strong comparisons are just, what a non-entity this guy is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, he's just nothing, and it sucks so bad.
Yeah, he's a nice looking kid, and there's just nothing else there. There's just blank eyes, like just black eyes, like a doll's eyes. Just there's just no charm. There's no life.
I'm not sure if you found out at this point, but he and the other the rest of Alita's squad, unknowns to her, are jackers. They paralyze cyborgs and steal their body parts to sell to Vector for his mortar ball people.
But Ryder Strong, because he's now fallen in love with Alita in her big titty body, as you put it, decides that I heard you directly. That was your exact quote. Look at them titties. She's the new Alita. Berserker, more like more boner. I heard you say that exactly earlier. And, but Ryder Strong, because he got kissed one time, went, oh, I'm going to quit my life of crime. And he goes to quit. And he talks to his other friend from the Lost Boys, and he's like, hey, look, I'm Rufio. You should quit. And the guy's like, no, I'm like making money, and I live in a slum. And Blade Guy, Dario Nohara, shows up and chops him in half with his blade. Holy fuck. And that's not a robot. He chops a human being in half.
Yeah, because he's trying to get a bounty on Hugo as vengeance for Alita. I don't really remember why he did that.
Like, I think he's mad because he looked
bad.
Yeah, I think it literally he's mad because she broke his nose. Mm-hmm. And he's just an asshole.
There's this moment before the whole chase thing happens with them, which I have things to say about that whole moment. But you brought this up earlier, where like he wakes up and he's shirtless because he was out partying with Vector, because Vector's trying to get him on his side, or, you know, he's already on Vector's side, but he's trying to get the goods on Alita. And He wakes up the next day, shirtless in bed, hungover, and Alita is just in his window. And so she would have gotten the new body by this point, because that's I think, yeah. And he's like, oh, hey, oh, I was partying with Vector and things fine. And then she starts just going off on this thing about like, I will do anything for you. I will give you my heart. She takes her heart out of her chest and gives it to
him. I forgot that's when this happened. Yeah.
And the movie, and it's really fucking creepy and weird. And then he's like, okay, we don't need to do that. And then she's like, oh, that was a little intense.
Yeah.
And fuck you. Like, some of that shit pisses me off. I think there's a way to hang a lantern on some dumb stuff, but this was, you could have not done that.
Yeah.
And pointing out that you did that doesn't help it. It was fucking creepy and weird.
I liked it, but only because I don't think I've seen that before.
I haven't, and I think that's great, but go somewhere with it.
Yeah, no.
As an isolated thing, that's fine. But if you wanted to make this that like, oh, I have this, if the movie took a 90-degree turn and also became Fatal Attraction, or like, you know, I'm learning how to be human, and turns out this emotion part of my brain isn't right, and I really fixated on you. Wow, how crazy and wild is that? But no, it's just this isolated incident.
Yeah, it's a one-off, but that's pretty real. Like I've had experience with people like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've probably been people like that, I'll be honest.
Right, yeah.
I'm laying it straight down there. And it was kind of nice to see it in a movie. Like, whoa, I know what that's like. Young love. Yeah. I mean, because one time I pulled my heart out for this lady and she was fucking weirded the fuck out. Yeah. And
I did it once for Mola Ram, and he was pretty unimpressed.
When I say my heart, I mean her dog's heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
When I say this lady, I mean my mom. And when I say dog, I mean father. Oh, father. Father, why can't I be your robot daughter? Father, won't you make me? Yeah, so that was intense, and they're boyfriend, girlfriend now. So that's when he decides to cut, you know, to give up Chop Shop, and you wanted to make a point about the scene where his friend gets chopped in half.
Well, before that, there is again the mention of like with her new body after she's done posing for her dad. And she goes to meet Hugo, and then everyone's like, "Whoa, wow, you got a new body!" And she keeps going on about how like she's like, "Yeah, my touch sensors are way better now. Like, they're much more powerful." Just, yeah. But whatever, that's fine. This movie's not creepy.
So his friend gets chopped in half and is very violent, and Alita shows up to save him. And no! Here's what happened. Because this is where they start doing kind of the simultaneous storytelling, is that she's trying to get into the motorball prelims.
Oh, yes. That's what it was, is that she has decided that. Why does she want to do motorball?
For money. She wants to get a rider strong enough money so he can go to Salem.
That's right. OK, yeah. So that's how she's going to get him to Salem. Is to
which, by the way, Salem is in Oregon or Massachusetts. Like, it's nowhere near Kansas.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah, I know.
This movie should have thought that through.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking weirdos.
So she does motorball and puts on rollerblades, and it was irritating me because I was like, at the same time, what's his butt? Hugo is trying to, like, get out of his life of being a cyberjacker. He encounters Zalem, who's like chasing him and trying to track him through the city. And I'm like, man, why aren't they intercutting these scenes? This would be very useful in terms of keeping the action going.
Yeah.
And also sort of pairing, like twinning these characters with these same experiences. And then you have this, like, she's trying to get away and reach him, but she's doing this thing. And they eventually do. But it took a long time to get there, and I was getting frustrated by that.
Yeah, I think, and this is a problem with the Hugo character, is her fight scene is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
His is hanging onto the back of a car and doing a bit of a pull-up. Which, fair enough, I can't do either of those things.
Yeah, it's more than I do.
But when you can't cross-cut that with fucking explosive backflips, beating the shit out of robots with a metal ball.
Yeah, well, I think if you, it would be a different movie, but I think if you like ramped up to that, if the murder ball, like, let's all just pile up on Alita thing, didn't happen right out of the gate.
It started
out as a murder ball game, but then switched into that, but. Whatever, they did it this way, and it's fine. But I was enjoying that, like I said before, that motorball sequence was actually, for as much as it didn't make sense, like there were not really rules or whatever, it was still fun to watch.
I think the murderball thing is no rules. I think the idea is that there's a couple of weapons that are like semi-banned. But basically, it's just put the ball in the hole and you get a point.
Well, I really liked the idea of at the beginning when they're all lined up and ready to go. And again, like this is an unnecessary thing where Christoph Waltz is there watching her in the stands, and he realizes that they all have bounties on them, all the other racers. And he calls her up on the phone, which she apparently has some sort of something that he can just communicate with her. It felt like that's something that Hugo could have done. You know what I mean? Like, not to nitpick this too much, but like, he could have called him and like, it just felt unnecessary to have Christoph Waltz involved.
Well, Hugo did call her and called her for help, saying he was getting chased.
Yeah,
by
later. But I'm just saying the whole like reveal that everyone else was a bounty hunter was also Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, but I don't think Hugo.
I'm just saying I don't think he needed to be there.
Oh, okay. But how would Hugo know that they were gonna attack her?
I'm just saying, like, there's clearly a conspiracy going on. That information could have been relayed differently.
Oh, okay. I got you. I thought you were trying to put it on him. You're just saying not necessarily put it on Hugo, just not give it to Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, it just seemed.
Yeah, like, gotcha.
Experience that he was there, but
yeah.
It doesn't matter. He gave her all the armor. I thought that moment was kind of cute when he gave her all the padding. She's like, I don't need this. He's like, yes, you do.
Yeah. It was cute. He's a great dad. I want him to hug me.
At the beginning, when they're lined up in the starting line waiting to go, and she's like, hey, go easy on me, guys. And she says something to this one character who's this huge, like, kind of hunched over cyborg, and he turns and gives her this rejoinder. And I'm imagining the actor being like, oh, this is going to look so cool. I'm going to have, like, I got to say a cool line. I got to have this awesome cyborg body. And he does, but after he says his line, these like stupid glasses lower over his face.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks so dumb. It looks like Bill Lambier's combat basketball. But just that guy in the theater being like, oh, awesome. Oh, okay. That was me, huh? All right.
Yeah. But, you know, he got to be killed by a little girl, so that's fun.
That's the dream.
Yeah. So they have the whole race, and during this, Hugo gets hurt, and he's like, hey, you got to come save me. Meet me at the old church. And she escapes the motorball arena by diving through a screen, which is nice looking, and she basically murderballs her way, and I know it's motorball, but who cares? She rollerballs her way through the city, killing all the other people, and at the last second saves, in quotes, Hugo by chopping that guy with the douchey face, his face off, which was great, because he likes his face.
Yeah, and that was cool, just because what was underneath it was creepy and upsetting.
Yeah, John, that's dramatic irony. He liked his face, and she chopped it off. It's like Shakespeare.
I never saw it coming.
Yeah.
But I also liked that. Well, I liked the fake out where it appears that she's cut off Hugo's head, because she kept being like, "No, this is my bounty. Leave him alone. I've claimed him." And factory law, which is apparently is a thing that exists, and the rules of bounty hunting means that you can't protect a bounty. You have to kill him. And she tries to get around that by chopping off his head. And then connecting like tubes from her body into his head to keep his brain alive.
Yeah, well, Blade Guy kills him first. He stabs Hugo. So he's basically dead. So she chops his head off and connects it to her heart to keep it alive so he can become a cyborg.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, no, it was. And very gross. And so he wakes up the next day. And here's the question for you. When you wake up the next day, you're in a robot body. I mean, you're like really Mr. Genitals, right?
I mean, I would.
Because I think
there's a lot to miss there, is all I'm saying.
I'm just saying, like, he like really took it well for you're like a head in a robot body now. Like, you don't have any like genitals or, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if my first thought would be genitals.
What would your first thought be?
I don't know. Probably more existential angst about like, what does it mean to be a person? Eventually, I would get to genitals. Like, don't get me wrong.
I
would get there, but I'd just be more like, what is this? And like, you know, can I crush something?
No, not anymore, because you don't have genitals. You can't crush nothing.
I don't know that you know how to use genitals correctly, but that's, I don't want to get into that.
Apparently you don't. I crushed that ass all night. So yeah, he doesn't have genitals anymore, and he takes it really, really, he's fine with it. He's like, hey, it's great. Yeah.
I mean, he might remember getting murdered, being like, oh, I'm not murdered. This is all right.
Yeah, I guess that's true. If I was like, hey, Alex, you have a choice. You could either wake up in a robot body, genitalless, or be dead. I'd probably go the old smooth downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a lovely little bit. She's very happy with Hugo having a body or whatever. She calls Christoph Waltz father.
What if you woke up with a robot body, but they grafted your genitals onto it.
Oh, I feel
so. It's like, so it's Hugo, like it's that like face on a robot skeleton, like a T1 or T800 or mm-hmm. whatever, T100, and it's all that, but just like they also just stapled your junk on there.
Well, I mean, does it work? Is it fully functional?
As much as it's ever been.
Okay, so no. Yeah, I think it'd just be kind of useless. I want like a big, I want a merciless metal robot cock, if this is the case.
You want Tetsuo the Iron Man down there.
Right? Yeah, with all of the nerve endings, instead of on my skin like a lead, I just want it all of my dong.
Just like you can't, the rest of the body, dark man, can't feel anything.
Yes.
But it's all, you're a super taster.
Exactly. Day. Like every time you take it out to take a piss, it's just like come town and then you pee. Because it's just like, oh, this is great.
Thorch is so mad right now.
Yeah, well, I literally said that so I can call it back later. Literally, that entire run was so I could call it back in a minute. Yeah, she calls Crystal Fault's father after this, which is maybe very happy. And she decides that I don't remember what's happening here.
You know what we completely skipped over?
A lot of movies.
Yeah, but like what is completely batshit insane? Is when the dog dies, that she takes the blood of the dog and rubs it on her face.
Oh, yeah.
As like battle things, which is apparently supposed to be some callback to what her previous life as a Martian warrior.
Yeah.
Doing the Panzerkunst. But like, I was expecting her to like lean down and be like, oh, poor dead dog. But no, she puts blood. She takes dog's blood and like wipes it under her eyes. And it's like, now the battle really begins, or whatever the fuck she says.
See, it's what we did before Pee Wee Football. We'd murder a chihuahua and rub its blood under our eyes.
You guys were undefeated that season.
Yeah. So she decides, I don't remember why, but she's going to go kill Marshal Ali. He's taken over. Oh, you know, it's actually, this is right where it's revealed that you never get to Zolom. Your body gets stolen and you get put into little jars,
mm-hmm.
which was fucking creepy. And there's just a jar with Jennifer Connelly's brain and eyeballs and stuff in it, which was, I don't really understand what's happening there, but it's cool looking.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So Jennifer Connelly helps her save Hugo. I mean, she gives a reason for it. Jennifer Connelly being Christoph Waltz's wife and her original body's mother of the person the body was intended for. And it's like, oh, I've been so consumed by whatever else my character is doing that I forgot how to be a mom. So wants to help her out. And then, yeah, then she's murdered for doing that. And Marjal Ali's Vector has promised her, yeah, trips to, like, he was going to take her to Salem or whatever. But he reveals that, yeah, no, I kept my promise to her. I just killed her and I kept her brain and hands alive because that's what Nova really wants for whatever reason.
I'm glad you said for whatever really reason because I didn't really understand what was happening there. But yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It looks
and
cool.
I'm also getting the sense that he's the only guy that lives up there.
No, because Doc grew up there.
Yeah, but that was then. Like, I like the idea that it's just him now.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
And he's producing that much trash.
Yeah, I mean, why not? You know, you got the only flying city. Might as well use it. Yeah, so Nova talks through Marshal Ali, and he's like, yeah, I'm a bad guy. Go fuck yourself. And Alita kills him while she's like, she got one less puppet, which was cool. But also, that guy was being controlled by another human. I don't know. It felt a little weird to kill him for it. You know?
Yes. It's like, as much that we tried to be like, well, yeah, but on his own was doing awful stuff. It still felt like, yeah, but that was all in service of Nova.
Yeah.
And then Nova would directly control him. It didn't feel great. It didn't feel like a powerful victory. And yeah. I don't know, again, I don't know if that's true in the source material, if that's how it went down, but it kind of felt gross.
Yeah. So he dead.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember, how does she kill the guy with that originally had the sword?
Did she cut off his face?
Yeah, she cut off his face, but he was still alive, and he got taken away by the tank people? So did he ever die?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he just, like, he was out of the story at that point.
Okay, all right. That's why I was like, oh, did I just miss part? Because I'm like, I just realized she has a sword, and, like, he never really, like, we didn't get, like, a death scene. Okay. So she kills him, and she realizes that Hugo is going to run up the wire to try to get to Zolom. we've seen previously in a flashback that they've got these badass wire protecting horrible chopping ring things that make, you know,
spin blades.
Yeah. Which, you know, if you're trying to keep people from climbing up a rope, real fucking smart way to do it. Cause shit. Yeah. He gets chopped up by one real bad. And, she goes after him, like stabs the thing to keep him. He's like holding on to him dramatic, cliffhanger style. And he dies. We kill Hugo. Hugo's dead. His love of the movies go with him.
I do appreciate the movie's willingness to constantly be killing Hugo.
Yeah.
He dies like three different times. And as much as I hate this character, like he's a nothing character, but he's just enough to irritate me that the movie went like, yeah, probably he sucks. So let's kill him a whole bunch. Although I think their intention was to, you know, make you feel bad for him, but I was happy. I was pro Hugo murder.
Yeah, I was too. He was irritating. He was stupid, and I'm glad he's dead. I felt bad for Alita, but she'll get over it. She's young. I mean, she's 300, but she's, you know, somewhat young. And we get a little flash forward that Alita is now top of the pops. She's doing real well in the motorball scene,
which doesn't matter because that's not going to get her to Solemn. But that's fine. Who cares?
Well, because they say the only way to get to Zalem is that you win that tournament.
Right. But every other way to get to Zalem is proven to be a lie.
Christoph Waltz says that, and he used to live in Zalem. So I think we can take that as true. However,
if he was so good at living in Zalem, how come he's not still there?
Well, because his daughter got sick, so they kicked him out. But
check and mate.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to mate with Alita. I got it. You've been very clear about this. And I don't think she's Czech, but Nova knows Alita, and he's the one that runs the joint. He's not going to let her in if she wins that league.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Like, if some other dude wins that league, I bet you he'll let him in, because that's the rules, and why not? You need new population up there. He knows Alita. They've spoken through Marshala Ali. There's no way she's going to win the tournament. He's like, well, rules are rules. I guess come on up to my utopia.
So you get one other shot of Nova before the end reveal of him like typing on something and whatever, and it cuts up to him and he's this very Aryan looking guy, blonde hair, these stupid glasses, and what it first looks like no chin, and I'm like, what is going on? And then later it's revealed that it's actually Edward Norton.
Yeah,
I'm like, that, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah,
okay.
Ed,
like,
Norton,
the big bad guy,
the Hulk himself.
Yeah,
weird casting.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and it's irritating that she is, yeah, no, it's, I'm going to be a motorball star and I have the sword of the hunter warrior to do motorball. Just be a hunter warrior. Pursue that whole thing. You know, as far as like a movie and storytelling goes, like that you're just this badass warrior that's going to fight your way up there. But no, she's got to do this like Hunger Games bullshit.
Well, I think the sword is because the sword was made by Martian swordsmiths. She's got like a Martian body. I think that's like her kind of reclaiming where she's from.
My problem is with motorball. Like, why is that? That's so heavy in this and it doesn't need to be.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. I thought you just been like, cause that sword used to be like this symbol of this hunter guy. And it's like, well, no, he's like, that's actually like her part of her body's heritage.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, why even do the hunter stuff? If this is the motorball story.
To get money so Hugo can go to Zalem.
Right. But that's why she did motorball.
Yeah, but she didn't get she could have gotten more money that way.
Yeah, but she didn't. She decided to do motorball.
Look, John, it's a gig economy and you can't just have one job.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Motorball is like the Uber of 3022 Kansas City. And it's over. It's one of the best movies ever. I really hope they make a sequel. Mm-hmm. It's delightful. It's everything the prequels of Star Wars should have been. And everybody should go watch it. I mean, don't, obviously. It's really stupid. But if you want to watch something stupid, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's shorter than a lot of the stupid movies that we've watched.
Yeah, there's a whole third act that's not there, which is great.
I guess I would say watch this movie, and the moment it reminds you of a better movie, just start watching that movie.
That's actually probably a good idea. Watch this movie until you go like, oh, yeah, remember that movie from like 97? I should watch that. Yeah, you go watch that.
Yeah. Like, you know what I could use right now? James Caan's hairy shoulders. I'm going to watch Rollerball.
Yeah. Or watch the better version with Paul Heyman in it.
Who?
they remade it with the guy that read ECW was featured in the remake of Rollerball.
Yeah, and the main dude in it, not LL Cool J, but he was a Chris Klein, I believe, is an Omaha boy.
Oh, he looks like it. I mean, he is
chiseled.
Yeah, no, exactly. He looks like there's a little bit too much butter on that toast. A little spicy for my taste. That's my impression. That's my impression of Nebraska.
So while I was on IMDb and I found this stuff, and there is on his page, there is on the sidebar, there's user lists, and one of the user lists was overrated actors, in my opinion. And that was the title of the list. And I thought that was funny. Like, why would you take the time to do this? And then I remembered that we're on episode 79 of this podcast.
Yeah.
And I got sad.
Hey, John, what do you do? You're on episode 40 years of your life. What else have you think you've been doing with yourself?
That's true. I'm sorry.
All the stories you tell me about Omaha is, oh yeah, that was back when we were in my basement and watched a shitty movie and made fun of it. Like, this is you. Own it. Own it, girl. All right, John. So we've decided that 503-575-9118 is the call-in number if people want to leave a message. And we've got a message, and I'm going to play it for you now.
Hey, guys. It's Forrest. A message for Alex. A comment about being full from your asshole, RE being the grossest thing you've said in the show. That was definitely not as gross as you talking about Captain America destroying the old lady's pelvis, and please don't ever talk like that again. Thanks.
I thought you liked Forrest. I thought you liked, you know, there's so few people that interact with the show, and you know, I'm trying to make you laugh, and you have to just be, I'm gonna make my robot daughter beat you up, you jerk.
Hope you're happy, Forrest.
You jerk! I slaved over this microphone, smelling this Kansas City living piece of shit for 3 years to make you laugh! And then you go and say, what did he say? Something about me saying gross stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably pretty true. Thanks for the call, Ed Forrest. All right, so John, what are we going to do next week?
We are going to do Joker.
Oh, boy. Well, all right, let's list some things. I know that he's a smoker. He does something at midnight. He likes his 11 on the run. Mm-hmm. Zazie Beetz, isn't it?
All of those are true.
Yeah, so we're doing the Joaquin Phoenix Joker by Todd Phillips, the one that was got all the kids all riled up, and many people misunderstood the message of the film. So yeah, let's.
Yeah, I look forward to doing that. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I think we're gonna yell at some people. You know, I can't wait to have the audience berate me. For it by calling 503-575-9118. And yeah, thank you for listening. You can leave a review at places you can leave a review, like the lovely Anna did recently. Thank you, Anna. And follow us on the places. JawsPod on Twitter, John and Alex Hate Stuff on Facebook. And that's it. Because, I mean, you know, how much effort do you want us to fucking put in here, people?
If all I'm going to do is call and yell at us, please call and yell at us.
Yeah. Or at least yell at John this time.
No, it's illegal to make fun of me. So that's, you know, that's fine.
All right. Fair point. Bye.